Good afternoon, brethren, or I should say, and to some, good morning, and to others, it might be evening. So let me just say, happy Sabbath to everyone. We're really glad that we could be here with each other, for each other, in our Savior, by the mercies of His Father, our Elohim in heaven, by the bond of love and spirit of truth. He's drawing us together in Him, so we could have life and have life abundantly. The end result is that we could be His family, and being His family, we have life now, while we're here on this earth, on this present earth, and everlasting life in the new world to come, and to enjoy wonderful, wonderful things beyond words, beyond our imagination. But right now we're in this present sinful world, and so the sins of this world creates difficulties for those who are righteous, those who want to do what's right. But the ways of righteousness in of themselves are easy. It is the world that creates stumbling blocks and gives us difficulties. But we must be strong, endure, and not give in to the evils of this world. And I really appreciate the stance that Elohim is giving Brother Paul, to him, giving him insight on how to fight against the darkness, how to be a light. And I'm trusting and praying, and we're all praying, that he does the same for all of us, so that we're not passive, but we could be active. The light is very active. Where the light is, the darkness flees, right? So let's all band together the way Messiah said, because if where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And whatsoever we shall ask in his name, he will do. So that's why there's so many blessings of us coming to together, but especially first making sure that we're in him. Because only when we are in him can we be put together, because he is the one who puts the brethren together. Those that are in him, he unites together as one. So today we will continue with our teachings. We left off in the book of Acts last Sabbath, Acts chapter 3 at verse 22. Almost coming to a close of that, verse 22. So let's continue with that. And after we do the book of Acts, we'll take a little break as the Eternal permits and come back to do the book of Revelations. All right, so Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Let me go back to verse 21 just for the context. Says, speaking of Messiah, whom heaven must receive until the time. I'm trying to position this. Yes. Whom heaven must receive. That's Acts chapter 3, verses 21. Whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which Elohim spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So, by all the things about which Elohim spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet. So verse 22, the after flood prophet, one of the major after flood prophets was Moses. And verse 22 says, and Moses said, the eternal Elohim will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And I believe I...
Acts 22, verse 22.
So going back to... Let me just see my notes here. I wrote notes for this. Just go there. Bear with me. Hmm. Wow, I misplaced some of my notes, which isn't good here. All right, we'll come back to those notes as I when I can find them. I don't want to make this longer than it needs to be. But in the scriptures, it speaks of Moses, and actually, I think I found it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, I think. Yes, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 says, the Eternal, your Elohim, will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Eternal, your Elohim, at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Eternal, my Elohim, or see this great fire in any more, lest I die. And the Eternal said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Amen. That's a very important passage. Because here is Moses about to receive the, who actually received the Torah. But he speaks of a future prophet that will say things that Elohim will command to him. So this prophet will receive commands directly from Elohim and will tell people what Elohim says. And then people have to, and the Israelites would need to make sure they listen to what that prophet said. So this is the whole matter of understanding, going back a little bit, understanding that there Elohim is an Elohim of covenant. He makes covenants. And his law, his perfect law, doesn't change. Remember, he reveals his law as we are able. He reveals his law at right times. When we look at Adam and Eve, they were walking around. As I said, they didn't have any clothing. They didn't sin. Why? Because there was no law. The law, they never received the law that said they couldn't walk around unclothed. But as soon as the law was said that they had to be clothed, that people had to be clothed, it now became a sin to walk, unclothed. But at the time of Adam in the garden, it was not a sin. Okay? And then we see that, as I was reading earlier this morning before services, in the account of Genesis says that mankind were given herbs with seed and fruit trees fruit trees bearing seed as their food. That was their food. They were not to eat any meat whatsoever. But after the flood, Elohim knows why, he, by a new covenant, he said, okay, you can eat meat now. He didn't state any distinctions between the meat. It could have been because back then, even though some animals were considered clean and unclean, but there were no issues. Just as he permitted back then for siblings to marry, right? That was a different covenant. Siblings were allowed to marry. Yes, right? But in the law, when Moses came now, a different covenant, right? A covenant. You had to be clothed. You had to eat specific kinds of meat. If you're going to eat meat, You have to eat specific kinds of meat, clean meats only, right? And you had, other thing, right? And you couldn't, lost my train of thoughts, but there was some things that were allowed in the, oh yeah, you could marry your siblings. So you see with each covenant, changes are made. And this is where we, in our time, a lot of people struggle where it says you must obey my commandments. We think he is strictly speaking about the commandments that were given to Moses. No, that's error, because that's not what the evidence of scripture shows us. The scripture shows us that in each covenant, he adjusts things. Okay? Does his commandments really change? No, his commandments are based on love. They're love, and his love never changes. And so for his out of love for us, he adjusts the commandments to make sure that they are best suited for us in our given situation. That's what he does. So in the new covenant, we know from Ezekiel and Isaiah, from Isaiah and Jeremiah, that the law would be written on our hearts and our minds, his law, right? So the commandments would be written on our hearts and our minds. We would love them, the scriptures tell us. So when it says here that in verse 22, you shall listen to him, people need to listen to what Yeshua says. We need to listen to what the master says about the will of Elohim, and not see something that may appear to be different in his teaching and then say, oh, this teaching isn't right because it's going against what was written in the Torah. That's error. Could you imagine the children of Israel saying, we could marry our siblings because Noah and his children did that. So Moses can't be right. Moses can't. No, that's error. That would be error. And it's the same way. It's error today for us to look at a teaching of the new covenant teaching from Messiah. And because we may not understand it or may think it's not the same as what was written in the law, to say it's wrong. Nope. That's why in Moses, in that account in Deuteronomy 20, verses 18 says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command them. And he shall speak in my name. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. I said them, I meant to say him. So we have to really understand that so we don't get confused, brethren. Elohim has shown his manifest will in that he has eliminated the temple. And I was thinking about this yesterday too. Elohim never spoke to Israel about giving them a king. They asked for a king. Right? And they chose their own king after their own eyes. But out of mercy, Elohim gave them a king that based on his own heart, out of his own heart. And he was a good king. That was David. But that was not Elohim's plan. That was not Elohim's perfect will for them, so to say. That was their request, and he gave them that according to their request. So the whole system of having a kingdom came over Israel. But before it was of judges and a family. At least aiming for that family. But they asked for a king because they wanted to be like the other nations. Another thing is the temple. People are so caught up. Oh, we're going to build. Elohim said, I've never asked for a temple. This was against the thought of David. And And without going too much into that, you know what happened. The prophet said, do what's in your heart. But then Elohim told the prophet, no, that's not what I said, you know. But then he explained things to the prophet and then told David how that would work out with the temple. But eventually, the first temple, because of the sins of the people, the idolatry of the people, was destroyed on the day of Elohim. And many years later, after the Messiah came, the second temple, which was rebuilt in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and enlarged by Herod, King Herod, it was destroyed a few years after the Messiah ascended again. Another day of the eternal, right? So showing us that Elohim is not concerned about those things. He wants us to be his habitation, his people, and he wants his law to be in our hearts. He wants us to be free to grow and develop and not become like idols stuck in the past with old icons that can do nothing for us. Can do nothing for us. Because the heavens and the heavens cannot contain Elohim. And Elohim wants us to have that type of mind. That far expanding free spirit and mind of great things beyond earth. Not made of material things that will perish. Because many people want to take the faith of Yeshua and stick it in the old covenant. That's not reasonable. It's a new covenant. And these are the ways of heaven, not the ways of earth. Okay? So it's not about physical things that will perish, but it's about things, developing a thinking and understanding and lifestyle and eventually even gaining a body, a new resurrected body that will last forever. That can do great things. It's not about bricks and stones and killing of bulls and such things anymore. So we need to make sure we don't confuse what Elohim wanted to do and is carrying out through his son. So verse 23 says, and it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. From the people. Again, remember I said, there is an Israel. Israel is declared by Elohim, not man. So you have a people that's quote unquote the bloodline of Israel, right? Genetically speaking, but everyone among them genetically who does not do what this new prophet would do would be cut off from that people. They are not considered to be of Elohim's people. They will be cut off from the people. You're not a part of it. You're exile. Whichever way that's done. So it's not a matter of bloodline. It's a matter of union and obedience to that true prophet shall be destroyed from the people. So there's no one who doesn't believe in Messiah Yeshua, who does not subscribe to his ways. That's an Israelite. That's a true Jew in Elohim's sight. It's not. It's those who believe who are. Everyone else will be cut off from the people, just as we see in the genealogy. We even see it, as I said, in Adam. Cain was his first son, but because of his sins, he was cut off, not listed among his brethren. Abel was righteous, but because he had no children, he was not accounted in the bloodline. But Cain had children, but he was evil, and so therefore he was not accounted as being a descendant of Adam through his bloodline. Let's move on. You could look through these things and prove them yourself. Let's move on. So verse 24 says, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. So he spoke of Moses specifically, through which the law was given up until John. Because Messiah Yeshua in his teaching says the law and the prophets were until John. But now the kingdom of heaven is being proclaimed. So all the prophets, again, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel to those who came after him also proclaim these days. So from Samuel to the prophet John, the baptizer, in essence, proclaim those days, all of them. So of these days, not just of him, but of these days, the timing in which Messiah would come, what it would be like. When Isaiah said he shall give sight to the blind, and by his knowledge he shall justify many, and so many other things some of the other prophets said, not to mention the prophet Enoch, which was before Moses, as I read a little bit from yesterday during the feast of doing the observance of the eighth month. All right, so 25 says, you are the children, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that Elohim made with your father, saying to Abraham and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So all the families of the earth are to be blessed, not just Israel. That's why I said we are not to be confused by preachers who make Israel more than Elohim intended, okay, or by Torah teachers that are making Israel more than what Elohim intended. The promise was foremost through Noah, really Adam, and then Noah, his sons, and Abraham. He made that very clear. All the families of the earth, that's his plan. That's his plan. Not just one particular, all families of the earth will be blessed. So verse 26 says, Elohim, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first. Got that? To the Jew first, and then the nations, to the Jew first. So he sent them to you first. Saying first means he intends to send them to another group too. That other group being the nations, not the heathens. Sometimes, you know, we're not going to confuse heathens with nations. The nations that he promised would be blessed through Abraham, through the seed of Abraham. So he raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. That's his intention. That's the grace that he extended to all Israel. That, because he wanted to bless them by making them turn every one of them, not some, every one of them. He was offering each one of them an opportunity to receive a blessing by turning from their sins. As I mentioned last Sabbath, had they done that, the turn of events for Israel, for Jerusalem, would have been different. Okay? So, that's the end of chapter 3 in the book of Acts. So, let's make sure we listen to that prophet and not be deceived by the adversary who's going to make you think that, I can't accept what Yeshua said here. I can't accept what his apostle says because it seems like this doesn't match what Torah says. That's not sound scriptural understanding, as I pointed out. It's a new covenant. And the concept of a new covenant is not a new thing. Even with the Israelites, as I said, he made a new covenant with them. When he said, I think it was on Mount Horeb, he made a covenant with the other generations. He says, this is a new covenant that I'm making with you, not the one with your fathers. Okay, this is at the time of Moses he did that, right? So we need to understand that now in the new covenant, we have his commandments based on his love. This new covenant does not give us the right to execute the judgments of the commandments of the law. It does not. That's where people get mixed up. It does not allow us, give us that judgment, because the kingdom of Elohim is not yet here. He's gathering his people for the end times, from generation to generation. We cannot say we live by the entire law. That's not true. Because if you live by the entire law, you must also execute the judgments of that law. Okay? We know as believers, we shall not commit adultery, as Brother Paul read to us, for us, and we were reading along. We should not commit adultery. But the whole law given to Moses requires that the adulterer be stoned. The adulterer and the adulteress be stoned. Believers in Messiah, we don't do that. We don't have that aspect of the commandments. What he does for us is give us the aspect of obedience. With obedience, who needs punishment? There's no need for that. You understand? That's why there's no need for the punishment aspect for the congregation of Elohim, because we are obedient. So there's no need. So let's not be confused. We must make sure we listen carefully to the teachings of Messiah Yeshua and his apostles. Because it is written that the faith is based upon the law, the prophets, and Messiah Yeshua, the sure cornerstone. We must not turn away from that. And we must make sure we have a proper understanding of that prophet. As I mentioned last Sabbath, there are some ancient, quote-unquote, fragments, Jewish fragments, or Hebraic fragments, that disrespects Messiah. They claim to be believers, but they were not true believers. They were heretics who were teaching that Messiah was not of a divine origin. That was their own teaching. It was not from the scriptures, because all the scriptures show that the Messiah is of a divine origin. He's not just a man that was chosen and received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. No, he was the word of Elohim from above, who divested himself of his glory, became flesh, suffered for us, did many wonderful things for us, wonderful miracles, signs and wonders, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, causing the lame to walk. He himself walking in water, casting out demons, raising the dead. And he himself laying down his life, as it's built in that body that was prepared. It's built in him by the Spirit, so that after 3 days and three nights, he would rise from the dead and never die again. Okay, so that's the true Messiah. It's not a new test. It's not a quote unquote Protestant or Catholic idea. No, it's something that was written before Messiah even came to earth. And that's why we need all the scriptures and not allow those who were anti-Messiah, anti-Yeshua in the past, who did not love him, took out so many scriptures, so many of the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of the Son of Man. I said this because it's very, very important that we understand that. Because there are many today that are trying to like find the old teachings of the Ebionites. And because the Ebionites, who were a Hebraic sect, they did not believe Messiah was divine. They believed he was just a man. And then he was chosen and so on and so on. But that's heresy and blasphemy. It goes against everything that the prior prophets taught. And so that's why we must be very careful about these things. So I stop here with chapter 3, and next Sabbath we will continue with chapter 4.